This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories. I'm John Rosny.
And I'm Colleen Holden.
And today we'll be taking a glance at investments to infrastructure and healthcare projects, both in Normal and at a statewide level in Illinois, and providing a press conference with the Redbirds basketball coach after a tough match this past week against a top-ranked team.
At last week's Normal Town Council meeting, the Normal City Manager Pam Rees was voted onto the Tri-County River Development Authority as the official representative for McLean County. TRVDA works with businesses to issue taxable and tax-exempt bonds to construct, develop, and acquire properties.
We have a motion to approve an appointment of Pamela Rees, City Manager, to the Tri-County River Valley Development Authority.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion on this item? Mr. Preston.
I have one. It was brought to my attention that up until, I believe, recently, this authority has been surrounded by Peoria, Tazewell, and Woodford counties only. It is my understanding, and I'm looking for any verification of this, if needed, if I don't say it correctly, but it is my understanding that McLean County has been added to that by the state, and hence there is an appointment for Normal, and then one for Wilmington as well, which is why it's coming to us in the Tri-County terminology, you know, the name of the authority may be a little deceiving given the recent changes in the state.
That's accurate.
Ms. Smith.
I just wanted to add, in some background on this, it was shared the positions held by some other appointments to that, and I believe in the city of Peoria, they do have their city manager, and I think it's prudent that we follow the lead of that city and send someone with the knowledge and expertise of the three to represent our interests on this board.
Anyone else? Please call the roll.
Ms. Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Preston?
Aye.
Mrs. Lorenz?
Aye.
Ms. Harris?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye. Item is approved.
Last week's meeting also covered approval for a water main repair project on Linden Street and a three-year contract extension for Joe's Towing.
Illinois has awarded a $10 million contract to the Southern Illinois Healthcare Cancer Institute for renovations. The grant was awarded to improve quality of care for patients and make healthcare more accessible for those who previously had to travel out of state for treatment. Governor Pritzker spoke at the institute about what this grant will go towards and why it matters.
New exam rooms, 9 more physician offices, another 2 consultation rooms, a larger waiting room, a new on-site blood bank, 22 more infusion stations, more public restrooms, nursing stations, parking spots, registration carrels, and draw stations, and the region's first USP 800 state-of-the-art pharmacy on top of an advanced image-guided radiation therapy system called the TrueBeam STX, which is designed to treat some of the most complex cases of cancer. Every day, SIH Cancer Institute has been serving 300 patients now. And now, after all of the years of planning and design and construction, it has the opportunity to provide modernized healing spaces and quality holistic care that people deserve. Everyone that walks through this door gets in order to prepare themselves to beat cancer. As governor, there's no more important thing that I can do than to improve the health and safety of Illinoisans, no matter their zip code, no matter their income status. And that means eliminating rural health disparities, expanding preventative care, improving quality of life, providing affordable, accessible treatment for every Illinoisan. SIH Cancer Institute is the embodiment and realization of these goals. It's for that reason and many others that I couldn't be prouder to announce that we are awarding the SIH Cancer Institute $10 million in Rebuild Illinois grant funding. All of the people of Illinois have an investment in the success of the SIH Cancer Institute, and I couldn't be prouder of that. We aren't stopping there. As of today, the SIH Cancer Institute's cafe serves meals to more than 300 patients and 120 employees every day. Well, that number of patients and staff is bound to increase with this latest expansion. So we're granting SIH an additional $150,000 to build out the cafe, ensuring that every patient has a nutrient-rich meal that they need to fuel their bodies while they're undergoing treatment or while treating patients. And earlier this week, we yet again approved another grant for $150,000 to renovate the kitchen and the prep space here. So there's nothing about this place that we don't want to support, and we're going to continue to do that. And once again, the idea of the state of Illinois being invested in excellence is something that I think we should all be very proud of. Each of these expansion projects speak to what our state's infrastructure program, Rebuild Illinois, is all about. It's about our people. It's about serving people. It's not about things. It's about people living their lives better. It's not about roads and bridges and broadband and buildings, though that's what we're doing. It's about addressing the needs of families in every community so they have access to the facilities to improve their lives. It's about making sure that we have the modernized infrastructure that is so important for the facilities, the equipment that our residents require, whether they're driving on I-64, not hitting a pothole, or visiting friends. On the various roads around the region that we've rebuilt and repaired, or battling a life-threatening disease.
The funds for the renovation project came from Rebuild Illinois, a project started by Governor Pritzker to improve facilities like hospitals and schools around the state.
We'll return after a quick break in which we'll discuss local developments that have occurred over winter break here in Bloomington Normal, as well as local sports results and our interview with Redbird basketball coach Ryan Peden. Stay tuned for that in a bit.
You're listening to Second Look, only on WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look here at WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've covered the agenda of last week's Normal Town Council meeting and a $10 million grant to the SIH Cancer Institute.
During the winter break, Connect Transit has announced cuts to their standard bus schedules, which began on Monday. The official Connect Transit website put out a statement saying that due to small market and supply issues, they need to reduce the frequency of their routes to maintain sustainability. These updated schedules will continue indefinitely. The new schedule can be found on the Connect Transit website.
Two Illinois senators are among more than two dozen elected officials warning Rivian and other automakers not to interfere with union efforts at their manufacturing plants. Dick Durbin and Tammy Duxworth of Illinois released a letter sent to Bloomington-based Rivian CEO R.J. Scaringe and other executives of auto manufacturers expressing concerns of the numerous illegal activities the automakers have engaged in to block unionization efforts. The senators warned of legal action from the government if the firms continue to interfere in legal unionization efforts and are urging the companies to sign a neutrality agreement to not interfere in the unionization process.
As online marketplaces continue to stop out brick-and-mortar storefronts in an ever-tightening economy, a recent board of review for the Bloomington Eastland Mall has cut its market valuation by 24%. The mall, which opened in 1966, that used to house giants like Sears over a decade ago before the rise of e-commerce, had its value dropped from $8.7 million to $6.7 million. Though reinvestment efforts have taken place to try and jumpstart the mall, a lack of anchor stores and tenants have proven difficult to attract and keep additional storefronts within the mall.
In more recent news, a professional hockey team could potentially score $20 million in rent and profit over the next couple of decades if they decide to play at Bloomington's Grossinger Motor Arena. The proposal was brought to the Bloomington City Council on Monday and stated that the team would pay $5.4 million in rent during its 20-year contract and generate $750,000 in revenue annually. The deal would also likely bring more attention to the wider Bloomington Normal area and hopefully attract other arena users to the venue. A decision on the proposal has yet to be made.
In local sports, the Redbird women's basketball team took down Valparaiso this Friday night 77-68, achieving a win despite trailing behind Valparaiso by halftime. The Redbirds play again later today against UIC in Chicago this afternoon, beginning at 1 p.m.
Redbirds tennis yielded mixed results this weekend, with the World of Women's Tennis against Western Illinois dominating 6-1 in the spring opener in the ISU's favor, though the men's team fell to both Arkansas and Tulsa. The men's team plays later today against Oklahoma at 4, while the women's team plays on the 26th against Eastern Illinois.
The University High School basketball team had well-fought games for both the boys and girls basketball teams, with the boys varsity team securing 2 wins in a back-to-back match against Central Catholic High School this past Monday, while the women's team narrowly lost this Thursday to Mahomet Seymour High School 47-51.
This Wednesday, the Redbirds fought the Drake University Bulldogs 6-1 in conference here at home in CEFQ Arena. After a tough match against a top team in the division, the Redbirds fell to the Bulldogs 77-56. Redbirds men's basketball coach Ryan Peden spoke about the game after the challenges the team faced during the match, with WZND's Joey Lee Master fielding the coach on the performance of freshman players for the Redbirds and what improvements can be made for the next match.
You know, hats off to Drake. A really impressive team. I felt that way coming in. Obviously, we played them not long ago. I think they're playing better and better. They're playing considerably better than even a few weeks ago. So congratulations to them. I thought they were really impressive tonight, and a lot for us to learn from. I did like our team's fight and competitiveness tonight. Most of the way through all 40 minutes, you know, we just got to be better. We got to be better. They leave such a small margin for error, and that's a really talented and experienced team. So I give them credit, and we just got to keep getting these guys better and be better for Saturday for a tough Missouri State team.
So Drake was like red hot from the 3-point line. So I'm just wondering, when a team's shooting that hot, how do you attempt to slow down the rapid pace from the 3-point line?
Well, you got to be disruptive. You know, I think tonight. I thought they hit some tough shots early. I also think we erred on a few screening actions that gave them good looks early. So part of that is just being solid and being sound, you know, and making the next right play. Any good offensive team, if you let them get into a flow, that can become really problematic. Yeah. So we got to be more sound, I think. But I thought today we got north-south a lot more than we did last game. And our guards, we got to be much more dynamic, changing speeds, changing direction, utilizing our shot fakes, driving downhill, driving long closeouts, and then putting one another in those positions as well. And I thought we did a better job of that tonight. You know, it would be nice to hit some of those open looks, some more of those open looks, because I think certain times through the game, it can really help you from a momentum standpoint. I thought we got a lot of good looks. I did. I thought we got a lot of good looks tonight. Drake's a good, really good defensive team as well. They guard that ball. And, you know, Brody's so experienced there and such a big presence in the paint, makes it hard. You know, hard to finish over just because of his physicality, but really physical team as well. And yeah, hard fought battle tonight. We're not the only ones that they've had great offensive success against. So I want to say that in the same breath, because we there's some things we could have done better, but they also hit some really tough shots.
I felt like heading into tonight's game was kind of the battle of the big boys in the paint between Darnell Brody and Miles Foster, you know, with big height, big size, and it looked like Brody got the upper hand today. So what do you think Foster can improve on so he can prepare for these big-time matchups?
Well, Miles, I think part of it is we gotta find Miles more a little bit too. I thought in the second half there was a void there where, you know, the game opened up and it was going in our favor. I would say in the first 8 to 10 minutes we were making plays in the open court, and I think our perimeter skills and our guard play was a reason for that. We got to be intentional about finding him, continuing to find him. I think we've done a better job here in the last 2-3 weeks of that, but I don't think he got, maybe I got outplayed on the stat sheet, but I thought he did some really good things. I think he drew 5 fouls tonight as well, and you know, I think he's doing a lot of things really well for our team right now.
Yeah, well, the young freshman got a lot of playing time tonight, so I was wondering if there's any moment where you were impressed by those guys, and you think there's someone that you think you can build this program around.
Well, yeah, I think all three of our freshmen, I think, are guys that are going to be foundations for our future. I do. We're really excited about all three of them. All three of them are very different players. All three of them have had different paths to getting here as well. And, each of them brings something really different to the table for our team. So really excited about, their growth, their continued growth. They're like any freshman, they're going through some tough times. There's a struggle when you're a freshman, regardless. And we're excited about those guys and where they're headed. They got to just continue to keep getting better and better, day by day, and like the rest of us, just continue to get better.
So John, I was here in the studio, just doing some technical stuff while you were at the game doing color commentary on Wednesday. Can you tell me a little bit about how the game went from your perspective?
Yeah, sure. So I think it's better to kind of almost view the past couple games in a struggle period and then a shine period for the Redbirds, because the Redbirds going into this match on Wednesday that we commentated here, Drake was a tough opponent. I mean, they rank before the game, they were 5-1 in conference play. They're pretty much at the top of the league there or within the MVC. Redbirds, we tried to use the cards that were dealt to us. We started the game with a pretty good starting row of players, but even through the beginning, we couldn't really secure that much of a lead against Drake. They were just kind of a offensive powerhouse. I'm just blocking any shots we were trying to get. Halfway through, though, there were a lot of interesting pivots that the Redbirds were doing. Halfway through, there was almost this rush that the Redbirds did where it looked like we actually pulled through a little bit more and narrowed the point gap between ISU and Drake. But over time through the game, I think Drake kind of reacted to our reaction and they were able to up their defense. They were able to be a little more solid on their shots. And sadly, we weren't able to take the W that day. Following up, though, yesterday, we hit the road against the Missouri Bears and took them down in a 69-60 match. So I think we kind of took the lessons we learned from Drake and used it against another team like Missouri.
Right. So I know that we weren't quite evenly matched against Drake, but even if we were, what do you think the Redbirds could still be doing better to like continue and start getting back into that like shine period that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think a lot of the Redbird strategy that I see, there's a lot of what I could only describe as like a blitzkrieg of sorts. So initially, within that first period, we try to go as fast as we can out the gate and try to secure as much of a lead as we can. If it pays off, that works dividends by just keeping us in the lead. We can start to play a little more defensively against the team we're against. But if the other team opposes and they block us out of any type of lead in that beginning, ISU kind of starts to lose steam. So I think a lot of the lessons we learned on that match on Wednesday was kind of not only how we can kind of change that initial strategy, but if that strategy fails, how can we react there for the rest of the game?
Yeah, definitely. Something else that's really important for like just the team's like ability to play and play hard is the energy in the stadium. So I know it's a little harder to show up for the men's basketball team as opposed to the women's because they're just so like they're such a great team with like such great like on the court chemistry. But what did you think the energy was like there at Stefke Arena? And do you think it really impacted the way that the guys played?
You know, I think there's a sort of magic whenever a team is playing on their home field or home turf. There's when you've got the backing of not just the student base that's there, but all the different kinds of fans and the locals that come out to each and every game. I think that there's a sort of there's a momentum that provides as well, or there's a sort of mental boost for the players. I think not only just that, but also maybe a little bit of a hindrance for the opposing team as well, because they're on this new field. They're kind of a stranger in a strange land, and then they've got this whole crowd of people. Not many of them are cheering for them. I'd say even in a game where there's clearly a skill gap, or maybe not a skill gap, but there's more of a there's a difference in the performance of both the teams, I think definitely being on your home turf can provide a little bit of that mental fortitude you may need on the field.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today, we discussed a recap of many stories, developments over the past few weeks, including a recent Normal Town Council development and plans, a multi-million dollar grant given to cancer research for the governor in Springfield, and sports developments with both Redbird teams and local Normal sports. You can catch Second Look again during this time next week. I'm Colleen Olden.
And I'm John Rosny.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.